Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Thank you for being here on this rainy Sunday morning. We're glad that you're here. We had a great week last week. We're going to have another great morning this morning. It's one of my favorite Sunday mornings. We have all worship, all music Sunday this morning, and we have reasons to praise our Lord, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. We have so many testimonies of God coming into people's lives, that divine intervention that He gives us right here as we're living on this side of heaven. And we have testimony after testimony of it, and I'm so glad that you're here. And on the fifth Sundays of the month, which usually is about 4 a year, maybe 4 or 5, we do All Music Sunday. So if you are a visitor here, or if you haven't been with us that long, today is All Music Sunday, and we just offer up praises. We have a little message, but it's not like a sermon, but we just focus on our praises to the Lord and give thanks for all that He's done. So I hope that you enjoy it as much as we enjoy it. Yes, Tina. Amen. Her infection got better. So thank you. Tina wants to thank you for the prayers for her aunt. She is doing better and she's at home, but she does have some more healing to do. Don't mind us if we start dancing. Don't mind us if your pastor goes up and down the aisle as we're singing praises, because major prayers have been answered, not just for Rachel. And I said, I'm going to keep saying it. We have had so many that have had that miracle of affordable housing. And I know for a lot of us, you know, we don't know that struggle. You know, we take it for granted that we have our own place, that we have affordable housing. But I'm telling you from experience, I am telling you from a position of I've been there, a struggle it is, and especially right now in this economy, it is a miracle. It is a divine intervention. And we have, again, we just have so many reasons to give Lord praises. We got a wedding coming up next Sunday that we're going to be celebrating. Bobby and Tina. And I hope that you come. I hope that you join us in that celebration. And then we're also going to have a reception after for them, and just continue that day of celebration. I hope that you make time for it, and I hope you make room for it in your schedule, because they bless us as much as we bless them. And we're just so thankful for them. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming. Welcome back. Welcome home. Welcome home. We're glad that you're here. Amen. Yeah, Bobby. He's always given me stuff, and it's always precious, and it always makes me cry. The last one he gave me, it's in my office, but it was the picture of the peace, the love, the joy. And he said, Pastor Haley, he said, we didn't have any of these things in our lives until God brought us here. And through you and this church and through Champions, he said, now we have all of it. And he's just so precious. So, yes, Bobby, what do you have for me this morning? Oh, no. Oh, Jesus Christ. That's the angel. Thank you, Bobby. He's very artistic, and he's very poetic as well. So I'm telling you, I'm going to be able to have wallpaper in my office with all the things he likes to color. I'm going to walk in there, and thank you, Bobby. Thank you. And other announcements, I remembered eggs this morning, April. Thank you. And I want to thank everybody for the filling of the eggs that you've had. The Saturday before Easter Sunday is our annual Easter egg hunt. It's a lot of fun. And then afterwards, we have a luncheon. And I just want to thank you for your donations. Thank you for the candy and all the special prizes that we're going to have for the kids for the resurrection bingo game. So I hope you stay for that, too. Come about 10:30 if you want to help us hide those eggs. We have a lot of eggs. I'm pretty sure we have more eggs this year than we did last year. So I'm pretty excited. So 10:30, we are going to hide the eggs. And then at 11:30, we will start the Easter egg hunt. So that's exciting stuff. It adds to your Easter. Yes, Sally. Pray for Sally's brother. Also, we have a sign-up sheet for our Good Friday service. If you would like to join us, we're going to combine Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday on Good Friday. So we're going to do the Last Supper and the Passover meal that Jesus had with his disciples, and then go through that tradition that he did with his disciples, and then Paul is going to bless us with a Good Friday message. So the only reason why we have a sign-up sheet is because we'll have a place setting for you. And so we just need to know about how many is going to be there. It's not a dinner, so don't come hungry. We'll have some things for you to eat, like fruit, dry fruit. What they had at the Passover meal is what we will have on the table. But it's a beautiful evening. And just like helping out with the Easter egg hunt, it just adds to your Easter experience, makes it more richer as we follow Christ to the cross. And I want to thank Paul for helping me out these last two Sundays. I'm almost at the end of my semester. I'm getting there. And they're packing it in, and he blessed me with taking over for the last two Sundays, but he blessed us. And I just wanted to thank you so much for that. So who here is ready to praise?
Me!
Yeah!
Woo! I hope you're ready to praise. Psalm 30 says, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths, and you did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me out from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing the praise of our Lord. You, his faithful people, praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Amen. That's what this morning's about, church. Let's pray. Let's prepare our hearts for this time of worship and praise. Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you with these grateful, filled hearts, ready and prepared to lift our voice. Today is a day of song, a day of praise, a day of celebration to you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. Those of us that are committed in prayer, that we are needing to see you just intervene in our lives, we are going to praise you for it this morning ahead of time, because we know we stand on your promises, and you never, ever fail that sincere seeker that depend on you. Lord, we thank you for the gifts of music. We thank you for the praise band as they share their gifts with us each and every Sunday, but especially on this Sunday, Lord. Thank you for the melodies that remind us of your faithfulness, for the harmony that reflect your beauty, for the lyrics that proclaim your truth. Oh, and what a sweet truth, Lord. And as we sing today, let it not just be the music, but let it be our worship, our pure worship. Let it be a testimony. Let it be that joy poured out at your feet. And we know that praise isn't silent, and neither should our testimonies, Lord. You've brought us out of darkness. You've healed our hearts. You've walked with us through the fire. And you have never once let us down. You've never been too late. You've always been right on time. Let us sing the joy. Let us sing boldly, because you are worthy. You are worthy. Holy Spirit, fill the room. Stir our hearts as we lift up our hearts and our praises to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. What's praise?
Not quiet.
Praise is not quiet. Today's not the day. Amen.
Our greeting today is taken from Genesis 3:19 and Joel 2:12 and 13. Remember that you are dust, and dust you shall return. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothes in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God. He is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today to worship you, to raise songs to your name, and we know that you are our God and Jesus is our Savior. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for the gifts that are given because it allows us to reach out and touch someone in your name. And so we thank you for that also. We thank you for being here beside us, caring for all of our needs, taking care of us even when we don't ask for it, because you know it all. And we thank you for that. So bless these gifts today. Bless the givers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we've had some gorgeous days this week. The sun was shining, and I've looked around and I've looked at the things that are coming through the ground. Now, our daffodils were up, and they kept getting a little taller, and finally I started seeing this bud on the top. And this morning when we left, they started to open. But at Genesis, when I walked down between the two rows of the buildings to go into the back entrance to the hospital, they have been out for the whole time. The white ones with the yellow buds in the middle and the yellow ones that they just brighten up the day when you walk in. But then people say, oh, today it's raining, it's dreary. Take that as this, it's liquid sunshine. You know, God knows when our plants need watered and what they need for you. And sometimes, yeah, I know we go through those drought areas and he counts on us to water them for him. But today is one of those days where he's going to soften the ground. He's going to enrich those flowers and things coming up and allow them to be beautiful. You know, we went through a dreary season of winter, and now the spring is hitting. The buds are on the trees. As you go down through, you can see the buds. You can see the flowers starting to bloom. You see some of those trees that are already flowered. The beauty of this earth is a blessing to us. But some people look around and say, it's just another day. I see it as God's glory to us. So this season of Lent, we're looking forward to Easter week. Yes, we go have a Palm Sunday where everybody went out and praised the Lord. And they waved palm branches. But then things turned around. And he had his Last Supper. And he had time in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was taken away. And he died for you and I. But you know what? Friday was there, but Easter's coming. Sunday's coming. Because he rose from the grave. There ain't no grave gonna hold this body, his body down. Isn't that right? Isn't that what we sang? There ain't no grave. So, I want you to take some time this week. Dig into your Bibles. Understand the message of God and follow it this season. You'll be surprised that you'll find things in that you never knew was there. Because it's a living Bible and it's there for you. Amen? Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to direct us. This is my Bible. It contains the word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. Amen.
We heard this song, actually a karaoke song. Guy did it, so I asked him who it was. And we fell in love with it, so I hope you like it too. It's "Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone" by Chris Tomlin. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace face my fears, relieve how precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Praise the Lord. By God's amazing grace of giving His Son, our chains are gone and we're free. Praise the Lord.
We fell in love with that song, just like, come on, Sean, thank you so much. Don't you love when Sean sings? Amen, amen. Thank you so much. And then I also forgot to, as we're talking about the Lord answering prayers for a lot of our people within this congregation for housing, we got to give a big shout out and praise to the Lord for champions, for Chris Roberts and Chris Gorgas, that help those people that do find the housing. They help them with furniture, they help them move, they get the word out of the things that they need, so then we know what we can do for them. So we just, we're blessed. Chris Roberts and champions and Chris Gorgas. We all have a pass, don't we? We do. And guess what? Jesus overrides it. Amen. When He rose up out of that grave, He overrode our past. And he's like, you know what? By my blood, you're whiter than snow. We get to live in that promise on this side of heaven. That's our promise. We get to live in that. Amen? So Paul has been leading us to the cross, and he's done such a beautiful job with hitting those important moments, what Jesus talked to us about being our shepherd. You know, he was like rapid fire on his way to the cross. There was so much that he wanted us to know. There was so much that he wanted his disciples to know. And sometimes we can get overwhelmed by all that he was saying and all that had happened. Last Sunday, Paul talked about a bit about Lazarus. He talked a bit about that moment, that precious moment where Mary anointed Jesus and washed his feet with her tears and her hair. And, you know, it's those sweet moments mixed in with the bitterness, because we know what's coming. Jesus knew what was coming. But the Lord blesses us in those bitter times with that grace, that's his sweet, sweet grace, doesn't he? So this morning, I wanted to talk about Lazarus. We're going to be looking from John chapter 12. I'm going to start at verse 9. Then a large crowd of the Jews learned he was there. They came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, the one he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests had decided to kill Lazarus also, because he was the reason many of the Jews were deserting them and following Jesus. May God have a blessing of the reading of his word this morning. I'm going to be speaking as a testimony of Lazarus this morning, just kind of going on with the theme. I don't know how we got to that point, but we got there. I went down a rabbit hole, and we're going to keep it going. So I hope you are blessed by it this morning. My name is Lazarus. I'm from Bethany, a small village not too far from Jerusalem. And most people know me now as the one that Jesus raised from the dead. But before I became a miracle, I was just a man. I was a brother to Martha and Mary, and I was a friend to Jesus. We weren't just acquaintances. We were close. We were so close, we were like brothers. He spent time in our home. We laughed together. We prayed together. He taught us. My sisters and I had come to love him deeply, not just because he was kind, not just because he was wise, but because he saw us. He walked with us fully. And he loved us anyway. He loved us despite who we were. So when I got sick, they sent word to him, "Lord, the one who you love is sick." We thought he'd come immediately, wouldn't you? The one that you love, the one you're close to, like a brother or a sister. We thought he'd rush to heal me like he had done for so many others, but he didn't. He waited 4 days, and by the time he arrived, I was dead. I don't remember the death, but I remember the moment his voice pierced it. I remember hearing it through the darkness, through the silence of the graves, "Lazarus, come forth." And in an instant, I felt breath in my lungs. I felt warmth return to my limbs. I felt light shattering the darkness. I stumbled out of the tomb, still wrapped in the grave clothes. And the first face I saw was Jesus, smiling, tearful, triumphant. He called me out, not for my sake, but so that the world might see the glory of God through me. My life became a message. My life became a testimony. I didn't need to preach it. I didn't need to say a word. My presence was all that God needed. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And the people saw it. Oh, they saw it. Crowds came not just to see Jesus, but to see me. The one who had been dead, now alive. And that's when the trouble came. How can something good, how can a miracle be something so dark and twisted? The devil knows how to do that to people. The chief priests, they couldn't deny it. They had witnessed a sign they could not refute. And so they decided, if they couldn't, they destroy. They didn't just plot to kill Jesus. They plotted to kill me. The living, breathing, walking testimony of the resurrection and the life. Because on my account, many were putting their faith in Jesus. But let's go back. Let's go back. Night. It was 6 days before Passover. Jesus was at our home. We held a dinner in his honor. Everyone was there. Peter, John, Martha, Mary served, of course. She was always serving. Mary sat at his feet, as always. And I just reclined at the table beside him. My presence was the testimony. My crisis had become my calling. My pain had become a platform for his glory. Because I was once wrapped in death, and now I was sharing bread with the bread of life. And then Mary did what only someone who had experienced deep love and deep deliverance could do. She took a pound of pure nard, expensive perfume, and poured it on his feet, wiped them with her hair. The fragrance filled the room. It wasn't for show. It was worship. It was surrender. It was gratitude too deep for words. Judas criticized her, of course. There will always be those who criticize your true worship, the naysayers. And we can take Jesus as an example that he did not pay attention to the naysayers. He paid attention to the ones that worshiped him, the ones that knew him. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial." Mary understood. She believed something was coming. She had heard him say what his disciples had missed, that he must suffer and die. Her worship was prophetic, and it pointed to the cross. The next day, the crowds would be shouting, "Hosanna," as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, but many of those voices soon would be crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." The same ones who witnessed the miracle, the same ones who came to see me, the resurrection and the life. And yet, he went willingly for you and for me. And let me say it just to make sure you understand, I was dead. I was dead. There was nothing lower than that, than where I was. But Jesus called me out. Jesus gave me life. And when you've been called out of the grave, you can't stay silent. You can't go back to who you were, because resurrection changes you. And yes, there were people who hated that. There were people who didn't want to celebrate that, who hated what I represented. But I wouldn't stop, because my very life was a testimony written by the hand of God, not in ink, not with words, but by the Spirit, known and read by all. You see, you don't have to preach to testify. Sometimes just living is enough. Just showing up is enough. Living when you should have been buried. Living through something that should have killed you, because the devil sure tried. Laughing when the enemy tried to silence you. Worshiping when others say you're not worthy. That's your message. That's your witness. And friend, if he called me from the grave, he can call you. Whatever in your life has died, whether it is hope, dreams, relationships, joy, he can speak one word and it will come forth. Marriage come forth, future come forth, purpose come forth, sobriety come forth. He's still speaking. He's still calling up out of that grave. And I'm telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I lived. I didn't need anyone else to tell me how good God is, because I experienced him myself. He doesn't just want to be theology that's just put on the shelf in a book. He wants to be your resurrection in real time, this side of heaven, living out this on earth. He called my name. He ripped off my grave clothes. He silenced the worshipers of death. And now I live. That's my story. That's my Savior. That's my Jesus. Amen.
We all have those experiences in our life.
At least I hope. I know Pastor Chuck, it was one Sunday, he said, "You're not a true Christian if you don't have a testimony." And I was in my teens. I hadn't lived a life yet, okay? And that scared me to my core, because I thought to myself, I don't have a testimony. I prayed, "Lord, give me a testimony. I want my life to show that I am a true Christian, that I do know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want a testimony." You got to watch out for prayers like that. Some of you may not know my story. If you want to know, make sure you have some time and I'll tell you, because I am a walking, living, breathing testimony of Jesus bringing something that was dead to life, every aspect of my life. And it was through the love of this church, the body of Christ, that helped breathe that breath into me. Amen. You are in the right place. If you have dead things in your life, and you need Jesus to call you out of that tomb, come forth, you're in the right place. It's going to be here. It's going to be through his church. It's going to be through the love here and the truth of his word that he brings those things to life in your life. Amen. Who's ready to praise? We've all rescued up out of that grave. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We had a theme. We didn't even mean to have a theme this morning. Look at us. Amen. Right. They know my favorite too. Let's pray. Jesus, we stand this morning. We are in awe. The one who calls us out of our death clothes. You call us out from the dead to bring us back to life. Not just what we're looking forward to when we come into your glory in heaven, but you do it when we're living this life here on earth. Who speak hope into the hopeless, who breaks the chains of sin and shame, and who proves nothing is too far gone for your glory to redeem. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. There are so many to that testimony, Lord, so many. We thank you for reminding us that we don't have to preach, that we don't have to say words, that just by living, just by walking in your glory, we are a testimony of what you can do. Remind us of that, not just this morning, all throughout our walk, our faith walk. And these things, we give you thanks. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.